8:55 Eastern Time, and Columbia and its affiliated stations bring you Elmer Davis and the news.
The Allied governments are evidently taking seriously the talk of a new international order in Europe, which is to follow the war, if the Allies win. Tonight, Premier Daladier, addressing the French Chamber of Deputies, said that France and Britain are inseparably united, even beyond victory, and that other states would be invited to join them in a European federation after Hitlerism had been crushed. So far, we have little of the text of his speech, and we do not know whether he went into any details of the plan. But all talk of such a future federation, mostly unofficial to be sure, has suggested that it would be a much closer union than the present League of Nations, and it will be limited to European states, indeed presumably to Western Europe. In Chamberlain's radio talk of November 26th, he said it was hoped that a Germany animated by a new spirit would be part of such an organization. It would have to be if any European federation were to be a success, but there are no signs of any present inclination in that direction in Berlin. It seems to be generally felt that there should be some degree of economic as well as political federation. Today, Count Carlo Sforza, Italian foreign minister in pre-fascist days, who is now in Paris, said that, I quote, "If the British and French leaders, after this war, are able permanently to maintain the economic entente which the Allies allowed to slip from their hands in 1919, and if they are wise enough to leave membership open to all free countries, they will render a most valuable service to all Europe," end quote. A full and free flow of international trade was one of the conditions of the future Europe set forth in the Chamberlain speech. But there are perhaps even greater difficulties in the way of economic than of political federation. Some of those difficulties, even to economic federation between France and England, were set forth by Mr. Morrow in a broadcast from London on Christmas night. Differences between British and French wage and price levels have caused complications, and there has been talk in London of trying to adjust British to French wages, that is, to adjust them downward. Such a step would certainly be a blow to British morale and may very probably be avoided. But there would have to be a good many adjustments of some sort between countries with a high and a low cost of production in any economic federation of Europe. A British battleship of the Queen Elizabeth class, 30,000 tons and carrying 8 15-inch guns, was torpedoed by a German submarine on Thursday afternoon. But according to the British Admiralty statement, she was able to come into port under her own steam, not seriously damaged. Four men were killed by the explosion. The Germans on the street, according to Mr. Shirer's report from Berlin, are talking of the loss of the battleship. But this was not claimed in the German official statement, which merely said that it had been torpedoed. The only sinking reported so far today was a British trawler. The American freighter Excalibur of 9,400 tons was detained at Gibraltar by the British, and 90 cases of rubber in her cargo were seized and held for a prize court on suspicion that they were destined to Germany, though presumably the Excalibur was bound for Italy. This sort of thing would have been happening much more frequently if the president's proclamation under the neutrality law had not barred American shipping from the war zone in northern Europe. In Finland, the Russians were once more repulsed in attacks on the Karelian Isthmus. Fighting is going on several of the eastern fronts, but apparently not very hard fighting. The mass flights of the Russian Air Force over Finland night before last seem to have led to nothing except the bombing of a couple of towns in the interior, not named in the official communique, which says there were no casualties. The Finns had expected that perhaps these flights were the beginning of the Russians' famous maneuver of dropping considerable numbers of machine gunners with parachutes, a device which the Germans tried occasionally in the Polish War, but there are no signs of them yet. Stories were current through Scandinavia today, apparently originating in Finland, of mutinies in the Russian army and Russian planes bombing and machine gunning their own men. But our correspondent W.L. White reported from Helsinki tonight that while these stories filled the papers there, cooler Finnish opinion was inclined to think that Russian aviators had merely been confused as to just where the lines were in close fighting and had mistaken their own troops for the Finns. The earthquake in northeastern Turkey seems to have been the worst disaster of the sort since the one that destroyed Tokyo in 1923. The death list is reported as amounting to at least 30,000 and possibly much more. If there is any truth in the reports of Russian troop concentrations in the Caucasus and Central Asia, this earthquake might make Turkish defense extremely difficult, but so far, these stories, which come only from German and Italian sources, are totally unconfirmed.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.